It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome into America's podcast. Yeah, I said it.
Love it.
America's team.
Yes. I am Jim Day.
And I am Jonathan India.
And he is
Jake Fraley.
Now, Jake was also on this podcast, and we talked about the mental side of the game, so I want to certainly talk about that. But I can't, like, get into that before I get, talk about this team. I mean, right now, we're recording. I always like to tell the audience when we're recording. We're recording the day after Votto came back, which was another crazy, great night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you guys come to the ballpark like, man, what's going to happen today? It's been unbelievable from the Ricky Karcher experience.
Ricky Karcher, legend.
It just magical things keep happening. Yeah. What's it been like from the inside?
I mean, it's just like I saw it in spring training with the group we had. And we'll get into this deeper in the interview with everyone's mindset. And me and Jake actually talked about this in the offseason. That we wanted to build a culture, like, mentally, where everyone was buying into, you know, the winning mentality and focusing on what you have to do to prepare for that day. And, I saw it early in spring training that guys were buying in and guys were all part of the same mindset. You know, we wanted that mindset. So it's special, though, what's going on now. And, we're going to keep it rolling, you know.
Yeah, it's one thing to talk about. How do you put it into fruition? How has this happened? I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not by coincidence. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of very specific work to what we're trying to create here. I like to think about it. I think I've mentioned it to you, Jim. I remember a couple years back reading a thing about Tom Brady in the New England Patriots. Yeah. And I can't tell you exactly what year, but I think he was doing something. I think it might have been a podcast with Edelman, and he was talking about, you know, when they were in those years where they were just, I mean, the best team in the NFL. Brady talked about how they had such a specific culture, and environment that they've created within the clubhouse. That was obviously the reason why they were so successful. But he mentioned very in depth about how when they had players that were coming in and out, as soon as they came into the team, these new guys, you could tell right off the bat if they were going to be a good fit or not, because they had established such an identity within their team. And I feel like we're at that point.
Yeah.
Like we've cultivated that enough, and we have it, you know, yeah, to a point where we have such an identity of who we are as a team and who we are as individuals, where, you know, as soon as guys are coming in, you know, you can sense right away if they're going to be able to be a good fit. And, you know, fortunately, we've had a handful of, you know, new additions, and especially younger guys that have come in. And, I mean, they have just molded right into mm-hmm. what we're trying to do here.
Right. And as I look at you now, and now it just hit me, you've been wearing this. You call it a bandana. Is it a bandana or what?
Headband.
Headband.
Yeah.
And it's an American flag. So you were wearing this before you were deemed America's team. So it fits right in. Now, I've asked several guys about this. What's the genesis of this? Where did it come from for those just picking up this podcast, perhaps?
I thought it was Luke Maley that started it in St. Louis, but I guess it was Will Myers.
Yeah,
I guess he was saying it in the home series before St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I guess he was just yelling it or something.
Yeah,
and Maley, and I was like, I guess.
Just had Maley on the podcast last week, so he was talking about it. He was downplying it. He's like, listen, I'm the third catcher. I can't
There's Luke.
I can say it, but these guys got to go out and really live it. But he was instrumental in spreading it throughout the clubhouse, right?
Yeah, no, it was Luke. Luke is our guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke is our, he's our usher on the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the guy MC, on the mic.
Right?
He's the MC, man. He's the best MC I've ever heard.
See, I failed to ask, because we had such a serious conversation, I failed to ask him about the bus MC thing.
He's incredible.
Really, give me an example. What's he
I mean, after that, what series was when he played the crowd cheering noise? I think it was after the Kansas City series. We swept him, and he puts it on the...
He was acting like he was like a play-by-play.
Yeah, so he could do a play-by-play. He could actually
he was
be an
incredible.
Announcer.
I've talked to him about broadcasting.
He can actually do it now. And he did it. He's like, and he was just doing it whole. Now the Reds are, you know, doing the whole thing with the crowd cheering. And
really?
It was sick. Like, this is so sick. Like, we were going crazy on the buzz because he finished it off perfectly. And yeah, you got to ask him about that. He's incredible.
Well, he's really humble. And it's actually almost better coming from you guys because he would probably downplay it.
Yeah, but you got to hear him do some impersonations too on the announcing. It's awesome.
Really? Now, does he call up the rookies to sing and stuff?
Yeah,
he does all that. Any memorable ones in that regard?
Yeah, he does all that.
You got to have fun with it.
Steer said they called him up to sing the national anthem, and he really got into it. Like, he let it out.
Spence likes going up there.
Yeah, he enjoys it.
Yeah, he enjoys it.
I love the banter between you. Your lockers are right next to each other. I mean, he says, listen, I know my role in the team. I'm the team punching bag.
Yeah, he's starting to fire back though a little bit now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's getting comfortable.
Oh, let's start an update on this. Nice. So
he's been talking a little crap lately.
Well, you perform on the team,
yeah,
on the field,
know what?
You know.
He's balling. So.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He does deserve it. He does.
Now, this the excitement around the team, and I don't want to put it on proving people wrong but it's always motivation when no one's expecting anything out of you, is it not? It has to be.
No, absolutely. And I think, honestly, I think you might have asked me this question when the season started. I think it might have been after the first or second game. And everybody was asking, you know, are you guys trying to prove people wrong? And I love thinking about it in the opposite direction, that it's not about proving people wrong. It's about proving ourselves right. And I think that's the biggest thing, because I think when you're trying to prove other people wrong, you're getting motivation from the wrong things. And so when you change that phrase to we're just proving ourselves right, it's coming from a place of confidence, that we're choosing that confidence on a day-to-day basis because we know what we're capable of. So
now, coming to the park every day, like, we just came off of a 3-city trip. Those are grueling, man. They're so long.
They're tough.
And if you lose, you come home and you're just dead. Yeah. Like, I saw a lot of energy yesterday, and now it is winning incredible in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just momentum. You know, we have it. And you give it momentum to a team like we have, a bunch of hungry individuals that, you know, want to win. You know, we're not just winning, just like, oh, it's easy to win. We want to win every day. You know, there's a want in the clubhouse. And, you know, I think Joey said in his interview, like, he could see, you know, the atmosphere in our clubhouse is just incredible. You know, there's a want. And when you get that and momentum together, it's a scary sight. So, yeah, we're ready every day to show up.
Now, people were worried about Votto messing up the chemistry. That's just...
No way.
I got asked that question yesterday. Yeah. I don't know who the reporter was, but I looked at him and I said, do you think that he'll mess it up?
Yeah, come on.
I'm like, absolutely not. You're talking about Joey Votto.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. This guy's going to flow right into this lineup and he's going to do what he's been doing for his whole career.
Plus, he's a smart guy. He gets it.
Yes.
He knows the talk out there. I mean, he'll say, oh, I'm not on social media, even though...
He's on social media.
I mean, he's posting for sure, but he's looking.
He's got some good posts lately too, huh?
How about the bus thing?
Yeah,
that was funny.
The video, the quality of the video.
Yeah, it was like a commercial.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask him.
He hired someone.
He had to, huh?
Oh yeah, no, he hired someone to do it. That's professional.
Yeah, I was gonna ask him about that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, if he does anything, he's all in. He's always been that way. I'm gonna do it, I'm all in.
I can see him going into acting.
Oof!
After baseball.
Wow.
I mean, he's got a good, that was a good post he put.
They're all good.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's his mind and what he thinks about is nutso. So are you guys at the point where you're like, before you knew you're in the lineup, now you got to like, all right, am I in? Am I out? Where am I hitting? Which is a good problem to have. I mean, not good for individually for you guys. You want as much playing time as you can, but now you're like, really paying attention to what's right. going on.
I think it's really cool to just have so many guys that are that are capable of kind of carrying a team any individual night. Right. So and the biggest part of that is that everybody is the biggest cheerleader for the guy next yep. to them. Like that yeah. that's the coolest part, cuz there's no selfish ambition. There's no one guy trying to overtake another. Like everybody just wants to just be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's why on any given night it's like there's always a new hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them. Yeah, I'm interviewing a lot of different guys. Yeah. I mean, I even got the Ricky Karcher experience, which I that night the pictures and the shots of you guys hanging out.
He was out there.
Yeah, yeah, for Ricky's interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. So you guys are all just waiting, and you normally don't do this. There may be one or two guys that will do the water bucket or whatever, but the whole team waiting, knowing that this is going to be an epic interview. Mm-hmm. The smiles on your faces, that I will never, ever forget. What was it like? Did you know, Ricky's doing an interview?
He's an interesting individual.
Yeah.
We found out, I've known Ricky. I actually played rookie ball with him. So I've known him for at least four years. But we all found out about Ricky in spring training when he stood up and did the Reds Got Talent. He
Hold on. He did Reds Got Talent.
He did Reds Got Talent. And he stood up.
It was
And in his voice, it was like this. And just, he was like, well, I got some pretty cool pictures of fish. And we were just like, we just let him go because of just how funny it was. He showed a slideshow of how many fish he caught.
Come on.
And then he shows a video of him throwing a fastball over the net. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is incredible. We were dying laughing. Yeah. It wasn't a talent, but it's just Ricky being Ricky, So we all knew who Ricky was. And
I was like, Bull Durham, I want you to hit the mascot.
he's funny, man. He's
the most interesting man in the world.
Literally, he's funny.
Like a movie, bro.
A movie.
And then he dropped the whole league on me, which was...
That's him.
Yeah. I can't... My reaction to that, I didn't know what to do. I was locked up. I've done hundreds of interviews, thousands probably, and I didn't know what to do. There's a screenshot of me getting a thumbs up to the camera. Yeah. I don't even remember doing
live
it.
TV.
I don't even remember doing it. I did that?
Live TV.
Yeah. I said, it's all right. We're on cable or something stupid like that, but... That was great. All right, we're going to talk about the middle side of baseball, and we are going to do that after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. America's Podcast. We're with America's second baseman and America's outfielder, Jonathan India and Jake Fraley. Now, Jake, your episode on the podcast, they're all popular, but yours was the first. You were the first out of the gate.
Yeah.
So they've been well received. But we talked about the mental side of things, and it really helped people. That was one of the goals. And it was really interesting just to hear how much you get into the mental side of the game. And then you said, well, me and John talk about it a lot. You touched mm-hmm. on it, that you guys talked about it in the spring. So I'm just fascinated by the mental part of the game, because we're talking about a game of failure, and you better be able to handle mm-hmm. it, or it will eat you alive. This is a hard, hard game at this level, at any level, but this level particularly. So how you handle the mental side of it, and what do you guys talk about amongst it?
Yeah, I mean Jake knows that your mind is like the most powerful thing that in this world. Like, you control your mind is everything in this game. Yeah. So, if you let your mind creep away from, being positive, or, staying present, and worrying about, if you start worrying about past events in the game, it eats you alive. You will not move forward. And I've experienced it. I know Jake's experienced it. I talk about the subconscious mind a lot. you know, I've talked to Jake about this. I'm reading a book now called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. You know, just explain, it's explaining, like, if you tell yourself on a daily basis, you know, positive affirmations throughout your day, your subconscious mind will start to believe it. And that allows your conscious mind to do it. So, you know, I've been doing that, you know, I've been working on that. And that's something that I've, you know, been really excited about for the past months, actually. I was telling Jake, I think a month ago in the dugout, I just hit a home run and I was like, dude, it's like, dude, I've been working on this new technique in my mind and it's working. And he was like, yeah, man, like, see, your mind is very powerful. Like, you could do stuff like that. And so, yeah, that's just something I've been working on and excited about.
How closely do your techniques match up? We talked about the card that you carry that Sean Casey inspired with the three sayings on it to lock your mind in at bat to at bat or inning to inning, whatever. How closely are you associated with what he's saying?
Oh, no, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same concept. And that's the thing about when you're talking about, like, a skill or an exercise, like John was just explaining, it's not a magic pill. It's not like a like some secret, you know, like the Michael Jordan secret sauce. Right. It's very simple tools that all you have to do is just apply them. And like John was talking about, you receive that knowledge from one way or another, and then your job is to apply it. And once you apply it, you very quickly see how much it helps you. Mm-hmm. So the C for me, see the ball, be easy, hammer it. Those three cues for me from an offensive standpoint, it's no different. It's just three positive affirmations that keep it very simple for myself. Because that's the thing about your mind is, especially when it involves failure, is it wants to blow up and exaggerate mm-hmm. situations.
Yes.
So like, to give you an example, you have a man on third base with less than two outs and you don't get the job done. In retrospect, you're going to do that more times than you're going to get that runner in a season.
Yep.
But in that specific moment, like the game's over and you're looking back on that situation that you failed on, it makes, like, you feel like you just, like, imploded, like, your entire year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and then it'll get to that point. And it's obviously relative to, you know, that's our situation, that's our job. And it's no different than somebody who is, you know, has an office job and has a deadline, doesn't meet it, you know, something along those lines that's relative to what you're going through. But if you take a moment and you allow yourself to take a step back, and even in those specific moments, in those situations, you allow yourself to have an ability to have, you know, little cues or affirmations like John was talking about, it allows you to be as in control of those moments as you can possibly be in. And it's not for when it goes well for you. Like, those affirmations are there for when you fail, so that your mind doesn't get to a point where it starts to implode that situation bigger than it really is.
Have you had situations, John, where it's just overcome you? The negativity in your brain is just, and it affected your play, or one at bat or one mistake in a game carried over?
Yeah, many times in my career, in my life. Most recent was the trade talk. You know, that ruined me, honestly. I had a big talk with Jake about it in Boston. That whole thing really, you know, got to me, you know, because I love this city. I love this team. I love what we're building here. So when I saw that, it was like, oh God, like this is a possibility, you know, this could happen. And it affected my play, you know, for those couple series. And I was like, it was hard for me to really get out of it because I'm very strong mentally. And I've worked on it a lot this offseason and in the past. But that one was just like, I felt like I was drowning. Like, I couldn't get up, you know? So I remember talking to Jake about it, and then, you know, it was very, very tough. But I'm over it now. You know, I kind of see past it now. But I used a lot of different techniques to get through it. But and faith. I have faith in God, you know, so that also helped me. But yeah, that was the most recent one, and that kind of sucked. But, you know, you always got to just play. You know, you can't worry about the outside, you know, stuff going on. You got to control what you can control, and that was my attitude and my effort in the game, and that's what I'm doing.
I'm so glad to hear you talk about that, the trade thing, because I haven't asked you about it publicly.
Yeah.
You and I had a conversation off the record about that during that time, and I could see, I've been around enough, I could see it was tearing you up, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but you even said, I my road is coming to an end here in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think it's over, and that is tough to deal with. And I'm just glad, I'm glad you're sharing it, because that it's been out there. It's been out there in the public, and you have dealt with it exceptionally well.
Yeah.
So whatever mental skills you are working on, man, you have, you're maintaining. It's good.
Yeah. I'm past it now. I'm past the whole struggling side of it. You know, I kind of just worked through it and emotionally got myself right, you know, and, you know, it's just part of the game. It's part of the business.
Yeah.
But I'm going to control what I can control and every day, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, now you're captain of America's team, so it's a tougher deal now.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's funny.
What I know they think you think highly of Jake Froehlich, and everyone in that clubhouse. What do you think of this dude, Jonathan India Jake?
I mean, he's our leader. Where he goes, we go. And that's why, like, even just hearing him bring up the thing about the trade talks, because like you said, we, you know, me and John have, you know, built a very good relationship over the last, you know, 2 years. And I played against John in college too. So, you know, I've been on the baseball field with John for quite a few years. And, you know, just to be in a clubhouse with the type of leadership that he has and the way that he, you know, has the ability to, and again, I know John brought it up twice now, but we live pretty close to each other in the off season. So we when we spent some time together this off season, we had some really good talks about, you know, the team going into the season and what, you know, we wanted to, you know, it to turn into, what we kind of saw it as, you know, the ability for it to turn into. And one of the big things that is such a, I mean, it's vital to why we are where we are, is because John is so good at being able to work between a lot of different personalities. Like, you could put John in any room and he'll quickly get everybody to get on the same page and be moving in the direction that they need to go. And it's huge for a clubhouse because you have so many different personalities. Everybody wants to do well individually, but it's a whole nother ball game to get everybody on the same page to do well as a team collectively. And you have to have a guy like John that's has that ability within our closed walls, that a lot of stuff that you guys don't see, right? You guys see just, you know, what John's able to do on a baseball field, right?
Right.
Incredible baseball player, deserving of going to the All-Star game this year, if I have to say. But
vote for America's captain.
Vote for the captain. But what you guys don't see is behind closed doors, which to me is even more impressive. And this team isn't where we are today from a culture standpoint, from the atmosphere that's within that clubhouse and the way that we're playing on a team, on the field as a team, without John.
Now, how you mentioned the different personalities, and there's different dynamics, there's different backgrounds. It's incredible. It's just a hodgepodge of the world, really, when you talk about baseball, from guys all over the world. How do you approach a guy if you want to help him mentally? Because I would think that you would approach guys differently. Sparky Anderson, who was the manager of the Big Red Machine, I hate to show my age here, but he used to, they used to ask him, well, how do you treat players when you've got these great players? He's like, well, I'm not going to treat Johnny Bench the same that I treat the 25th guy. It's, you've got to handle it differently. He's a different player. He's a superstar player. So he knew that early on, that you got to treat people differently. Do you have to approach guys differently, or is it the same way? How do you do it? He talked about you fitting in at with anyone, any situation. How do you do it?
Yeah, I think it everyone's different. You have to know who the person is first. You can't just jump into a conversation with them without knowing them. You know, you got to know the personality of that person. You know, you just got to know the person overall.
Yeah.
So, it's different. You know, with Jake, it's easy to talk to because we have the same mindset. You know, he's very mental like me. We are winners. We're competitive, and you know, we control a lot of things we can control. Some guys, it's different. Some guys, they're high energy. They wanted to do this, succeed at any, you know, cost. And it's like, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's good to be like that. But at the same time, you got to dial it back and realize what you're doing and realize what you're doing on the field. And you know, a lot of people ask me. I think I was talking to, who was I talking? I think it was McLean. He was talking to me about, he goes, dude, I'm just missing my pitches. I'm like, hey, I mean, It's part of the game, right? He goes, I know, but dude, I wasn't doing that like 2 days ago. And I was like, Matt, you've played every day. You know, you gotta come down to reality and say, hey, I've played every day. You know, my body's, you know, probably tired. I'm just not accepting that. And, you know, you got to adjust. You got to adjust your swing to how you're feeling. And he was like, yeah, you're right. You know, maybe I'm a little tired. But that comes back to, like, the mind, your mental side. You know, you can't, there's no, you always ask the question, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And it's just, you know, it's you have to come to reality of it sometimes and say, hey, maybe I am tired. But there's ways around it, you know? Yeah, I think, yeah, but everyone's different. You know, everyone has a, you know, with Spencer Steer, that's another guy. That guy, I mean, it's like, I don't even know how to, you know,
I just laugh when you bring up Spencer Steer's name. I don't know why.
Word for Spencer Steer?
What?
Aloof.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That is Spencer Steer. That guy, right. He could say, from one at bat to another, he could be like, dude, I just missed it. And like, next at bat, it's a homer. You know, like, it's not like I just missed it and it carries on next at bat.
Yeah.
So for him, it's, he'll be like, dude, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why is my swing? I'm like, just go hit. Like, that's for, he's easy. Like, Jake talks to him a lot. Just go hit, dude. Like,
he's incredible. He's got a special, he's a special human being.
Yeah.
Let's put it at that.
His mind is perfect for this game.
Yeah.
He's got no thinking involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's just got like Teflon on the outside. It just like bounces off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like see ball, hit ball. And that's the hardest thing to do in this game, you know? So he's perfect.
I love that you brought up McClain and the relationship there. And I've probably beaten a dead horse about this, but you mentioned like drowning in the trade talks. And a lot of the talk is, hey, McClain's going to be the future second baseman. You're the second baseman. So a lot of guys wouldn't help that guy. So you can't have selective leadership. You've got to have leadership across the board. How impressive is that to you that he helps McClain in that way with that dynamic out there?
I think that's the perfect depiction of why John is our guy, why he's our leader. You can't have, again, those selective relationships because you got to be a servant. Right? You have to be a servant at all times. And so for him to be able to do that, it just shows why, you know, we're in the position that we're in, because you got to have leaders like that. You got to have, you know, if he's going to be the captain of our team, that's how he needs to carry himself. And that's exactly how he does carry himself. And so, you know, having a guy like McClain that, you know, again, the scenario and what you just explained, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, it's baseball. When you have an organization that has so many good players, it's bound to happen. But it's up to, you know, a guy like John to be able to take it in the way that he can take it, which is looking at it as a, you know, there are aspects to that he has no control over. What he can control is being a servant and being a good teammate, and being able to have that ability to kind of separate those things. I mean, it's why John is the player that he is.
100% agree. And he's a multitasker as well. He's over there signing cards as we speak.
I know, I got to do this.
He's got these...
Reds heads. Kids
Day. Because you are, speaking of captain, you're the captain of the Reds Heads Kids Club, right?
I am, yep.
So, of all ages. He's a man of the people of all ages.
I try.
We are going to talk about where this might lead with this current Reds team. And we're going to do it after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I dig the Viking helmet. And it was actually inspired by Jake, you looking like a Viking. And then we find out that he's done a DNA test.
He's part Viking.
He's part Viking.
For sure. It's in my lineage.
Which is a true story. We're not making this up, folks. How much does that, and we're seeing this around the league, everyone seems to have their own thing, but there can't be a better team bonding thing. I mean, Votto talked about this after the game last night. He's like, I've been waiting to put that thing on only because it's a team thing and it's a winning thing.
Right.
Not, hey, look at me. It's a team thing. And he couldn't wait to put that on. What's this experience? I mean, when you put it on, Jake, you look like...
Dude, he looks like he should be in like Vikings Valhalla. You ever seen that show?
Yes.
He looks like he should be part of it.
Exactly.
No, it's
speaking
awesome.
Of an acting future.
Yeah, we can make it happen. Yeah. I mean,
starring in that show.
No, man, it's fun. I like to think, I mean, I don't know about you, John, but I feel like last year, you never really saw like home run celebrations, right?
Anything.
No.
So I feel like we might like want to start that across the league.
Yeah.
I mean, because as soon as we started it, you know, after that first series in Pittsburgh,
every team was doing
it. I remember there was one last year.
One,
Boston.
Someone done. Yes.
Remember Boston did,
someone
like
did
the cart.
Did the cart. And the then cart. Obviously Milwaukee's always had the bell. But like even Milwaukee, I think, has added to the bell. Too. They have the cheese head. So like, I mean, I think we might have started something across the league. And I even had some some reporters a couple months ago telling me that there were high schools around here that have home run celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are kind of a little bit similar to the Viking helmet.
Absolutely.
The Reds are trending.
I mean, trending, in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah, but there's Viking helmets in the stands, and now you're seeing signs, America's team. We saw them in Houston. Dude, hold up, America's team.
They're wearing Viking helmets. The guy was wearing a Viking helmet with that sign.
Exactly.
Like, couldn't be the perfect combination.
I love the original Viking helmet, which is in your locker.
It is, yeah.
It's a little too heavy.
I'm very glad that we decided not to use that, because with how excited and jacked up we get on home runs, I'm sure we would have some split foreheads by now.
Yeah, that would definitely hurt.
I love it. This America's team thing, when we came back from Houston, they had the bunting that you use, the red, white, and blue bunting that you see on opening day, hanging in the garage, and now you got American flags hanging out of your entrance to the clubhouse.
We started something.
So the city's and the Reds country's into this thing, and it's not a, hey, look at me. It's a play the game the right way, right?
It's the brand of baseball we play.
It's the brand of baseball that we play, and it should be how America plays baseball.
No doubt. Hard-nosed baseball. You know, you play the game the right way, and you get rewarded the right way. So, it's just funny. It's gotten this big, and we're America's team now. I love it, because we play that game hard. You know, we play baseball hard.
Yeah.
So we're hard-working individuals as well. Mm. So, I think it's all part of it.
I love that you guys have adapted this base right now. You don't do it without talent. If this team a couple of years ago tried this style of play, and it's nothing against the guys that were on this team, even the guys that you were involved in trading for, love Suarez to death. Yeah. He was gold for what I do. How can you not love Gino and Winker and even Castellanos and Moustakas? But if that team tried to play this style of play, it would be like, wow, this is a stupid team. They keep running it out. What are they doing?
Yeah, there's no way.
So you've got to have the talent to pull it off. So you guys have the speed and the talent to pull it off, and you're pressing the issue. So now the label is, wow, this is a really smart team, man. They're taking it to the opponent. Yeah. So you've got to have the talent to do it, right? I mean, it's not just, hey, let's go play this way. You've got to be able to play that way.
No, absolutely. Because, I mean, there's no way we could have started the year and been like, oh, we're America's team. Like, we had to go out on the field and prove it and show that this is the brand of baseball that we're going to play. And then obviously that title came along with it and fit perfect to what we get to do on the field every day.
Yeah. By the way, I knew that this was percolating in the clubhouse, America's team, and I was so tempted to ask someone about it. But if it came from me, it wouldn't be organic. It would be like, oh, Jim Day came up with this. No, it wasn't me. It was, I didn't want to be the one asking about it. It had to come from the team. So that night they said, interview McLean. And I'm like, I got to do John too. Mm. It's got to come from John.
That's so awesome. We did it together. That was so funny.
Yeah. I don't always do a double interview. Sometimes I do, but I'm like, I'll do McLean. He's going to be there, but it's got to be John, because I think this is coming out tonight. And it was well played.
It was perfect.
Bailey even talked about it. He's like, was it designated that whoever did the interview that night whoever does interviews tonight has to drop America's team?
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Every interview now, we're going to drop it.
And he said, I didn't think he was going to drop it 12 times.
I told him, I said, dude, I got it in there plenty of times.
Oh, you got it in there.
He was like, I can't wait to watch it.
And then McLean, a man of few words but many hits.
Few words but many hits
yep. on camera. He says, well, he's the captain of America's team. And then, boom, there it goes.
He blew it up. I said, geez.
So I was so glad that it happened organically. It wasn't. Yeah. I just sat on it, not asked about it. So thank you for letting it come out organically.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Do you guys, as we sit here right now, and I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this series versus Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this on a Tuesday, so this is not going to drop for like 6 days. But don't know what's going to happen against the Braves. But first place Cincinnati Reds right now.
How cool is that?
I mean.
That's really cool. First time since what, 21? Yeah.
It seems like longer than that.
It does. It does. We probably had it for a day. And
I saw something today that it's like been like, I don't remember how it was like.
Probably a while.
It was a lot of days. I don't want to throw out a number, but it was a lot of days since the last time that the Reds were in first place.
I mean, I know it's at least 3 years.
Believe me. Been here for it all.
You've seen
it's been
it
a
all.
Long decade. It's been a lot of questions after losses. What am I going to ask tonight? What awful question am I going to ask tonight to the manager who didn't really have anything to do with it? His guys lost the game. We scored less runs than the other team. Back to you. You know, so it's been a long ride. But, and I don't know when this drops, you might not be in first place. But to get there, now it's to maintain. Mm-hmm. Now the pressure changes. Always pressure. Now the expectations are different. You guys have snuck up on people, but that's done. Now it's over. How are you going to handle this now going forward?
I mean, we can't look at it like, oh, we're in first place. Now we got to hold first. I mean, that's just putting pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need any added pressure in this game. We're going to do the same thing we do every day is prepare for ourselves for that day, prepare to win that day. That's it. Simple as that. I mean, Jake can say it as well. I mean, we're not looking into the future. You know, we don't care about standings. You know, we're going to win today. And that's all we could do. That's all we can control is our attitude that day and preparation for that day.
Got to motivate you, though. Like, wow, we could.
Yeah, but at the same time.
It's going to be a playoff team here.
Yeah, I completely agree. But at the same time, it's like. That added pressure of like, oh God, we got a playoff team. Now we got to keep it. We got to keep this first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not healthy for a mindset. Yeah. I think personally
gets back to the mental side of it.
Yeah,
right.
That mindset of, you know, looking behind your shoulder, you know, someone's chasing you. It's not a good mindset. You know, I want to be chasing something.
Yeah.
I think that's a better mindset for our team. If we have something to chase, we're hungry individuals. We're going to get it.
Yeah, I agree. I've said it to you before, Jim. The past is the history. The future is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Yep.
So if we're able to.
Wait, hold on. I'm slow. Say it one more time.
The past is the history. The future is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why we call it the present moment.
That's awesome. I didn't want people to hit the old rewind button there. I wanted them to let that sink in.
So the only, and I agree with John. Like, I mean, it's awesome. And I love that, you know, everybody's excited as we are. I mean, it's not, you know, we work our butts off to be able to be in a position like this. But there is an aspect within, you know, our walls in the clubhouse, you know, the team that has to go out there and perform every night, that we have to look at it as no different than when we weren't in first place.
Right.
You know, we have an opponent tonight, as like you said, we're facing Colorado this series. So we have a pitcher that we have to face tonight. We have our pitcher that's throwing tonight that has a group of hitters that he has to prepare for. And we're going to take this game no different than we did the game that we had 2 weeks ago. And that has to be the mindset, because then when that is something that is consistent with our preparation, then when we get to a point later in the season, and if we are fortunate enough to be in a position where we are fighting for a playoff spot or in the playoffs, then those games are looked at no different than the first game of the year. Because you know, it's your ability as a team to be able to not get too blown up in expectations too blown up in the moments, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you as a team want to get to that game seven in the World Series and feel like it is game two in June against the White Sox.
That was just another
regular season game. And when you have that ability to do that collectively as a team, that's when special things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
about the name on the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey. That's easier said than done.
No doubt.
But that's what it's all about. Now, when you're what are the toughest teams to face? Is it the athletic teams? Like when you're playing defense, guys that can run, guys that can force, are those the toughest? Beyond the
teams, obviously that play,
lineups are loaded. Like you're gonna play the Braves this weekend. It's a loaded lineup. That's a given. But teams that press the issue,
that's a perfect example. The Braves. You know, they can do all three parts of the game. They can pitch, hit, and run.
Yeah.
And play defense. So four parts of the game. Like us. We're just a younger team to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. You like opponents are now like, God, we got to play the Reds, man.
Yeah.
We got a handful here.
Yeah, and we're just finding out now that we can do that. So we're not even at our full potential yet. And teams that do it all like that are definitely the hardest teams to play.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about. Seriously. Really is.
I mean, we steal bags every game. That's the craziest thing. I was talking to, it was Joey actually last night. On the front step, I think Jake just stole actually. And he was like, "Gosh, man, it's just so cool to see a team do this."
Yeah,
and he kept saying like, he goes, he was in Louisville rehabbing. He said, and he looked up and like the third inning, he said, "Oh, there's two stolen bases already, cool." And in the eighth inning, there's like 10. And he was like, "I mean, that's just so cool."
Yeah.
For a team to play like that, because you don't, and it's everyone doing it. You know, it's just not two, three guys. It's the whole lineup can steal.
Yeah.
So he admired that, and I was like, yeah, you know what? That's special. We have that talent.
Yeah, even Houston, there's a fly ball to right field, and Friedel's going first to second, tagging up. It's not just stealing bases, it's that.
Yeah,
it's, you don't see that very often.
Hard-nosed playing.
Yeah, and just pressing the issue, and the you guys know defensively, you speed up just that little bit. You can force mistakes, force a bad throw.
Yep.
Goodness, I love it. It's old school baseball, man.
Yeah, it is. It's the best baseball.
Old school baseball. Mm. I love it. Now, how much is, I've talked about Colin Cowgill before, who's in charge of the base running. You guys have base running meetings all the time. This never used to happen, right? I mean, this never happened.
Never.
And
he does it every day with us.
Yeah. And looking at tendencies, I mean, he was talking, I'm not going to mention the pitcher, but he's like, okay, watch this pitcher today. He'll sigh. And when he sighs, he'll throw the ball like, 1.5 seconds later. So if we can get him on the down of the sigh, we got him. Mm-hmm. Like
he's intense too.
That's beautiful. He is. He's like a bulldog walking up and down the dugout.
He's like motivated.
He's ready to run through a brick wall.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's his outfield coach as well. So he's with him more than me, but he's a motivated individual, and that's how we all are.
He's infused energy. He's smart, and
he pumps us up too.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
I mean, it's it's not a rah-rah game. 162 games. And one thing I've admired about you is you're not rah-rah. That would wear out after 162 games.
Yeah, no.
But you got to, effectively do it.
Conserve energy.
But the way he just got energy, you just look at him like, yeah, let's go play.
He's
I'm an old fart, and I'm like, I'll play. I'm ready to play.
He could play, honestly, for us.
Yeah.
He can actually pinch run and stuff and still do it.
He'd be good. He'd fit right in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think it's great. These meetings, they have to be paying off, right?
Oh, my God. I mean,
yeah,
tremendously. We're learning so much new information. It's helped me trust my base stealing more.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to steal now because I know the keys. I know all the movements of the pitcher now.
Yeah.
And I know the catcher's arm. So it's like more information I have when I'm stealing. It's like I see it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I trust myself more now.
Yeah. Well, even the techniques, I think we talked about this in spring training. It might have been you. I don't know. It might have been you about the steps of getting a secondary lead, the process of getting a secondary lead, which secondary leads are my major pet peeve.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The guys that don't get secondary leads, I just want to just... Dude, you got to get everything you can out of it. There are bang bang plays, and you can be safe on the bang bang play. If you get the proper secondary lead.
Yeah, you can tell it drives me crazy.
So the fact that you guys have turned that into an art form is important.
Yeah, it's the secondary at second base. I mean, don't quote me on this, but I'm almost positive that we are one of the best, if not the best, at scoring from second base this year so far. And that's why. And that's something that Will, when we were in camp early on, was brought up to them in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I think it originated from how Mookie gets his leads, secondaries off of second, and what he does at third base on contact plays, from a footwork and secondary standpoint. And we were bought in. We were like, all right, let's go. Because it's not just from like a feel aspect. Like, I mean, you're talking about like actual numbers. Like, this works.
Yep.
And Mookie is considered the best base runner in baseball year after year. And there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And so we started applying it, and it was like, I mean, I think I remember in camp there was a couple games where a couple guys scored from second base on like some, like, I mean, plays that you're not used to seeing like that easy. Right. And it was like, everybody's looking around like, oh my gosh, like this really does like change the game. And now you've just seen it, you know, we're 70 something games into the season and we're one of the best at it scoring from second base. And that's huge because you're talking about scoring runs, right? Yeah. You want to create runs and you want to drive in runs. So
yeah,
the brand of baseball this year is
and
awesome.
Also, base running is a mindset. Mm. It's, you know, you have to have the want to score for your teammate. You know, some guys get on by an error. It's like, oh God, like I didn't get a hit there, but you have another job to do. Now you could steal second, be in scoring position for your teammate. He can drive you in, there's a run. So it's a mindset. You know, you got to erase whatever happened in your bat and be there for your teammate. And that's how I think we look at it. I mean, I know Jake looks at it like that. I think a lot of us look at it like that. We want to score for our teammate.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to have the RBI. And that's why we're playing really well.
It's infectious, man. Yeah. I love it. And the fans are picking up on it as well. That's why they're rooting so hard for you. And I think it's only going to get better. People are coming back to the ballpark. And, man, when the Reds are good, this town is electric.
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys haven't seen it firsthand just yet.
Right.
But it's there and it's going to happen. And the one thing I love is we've talked about, wow, this future is bright for this organization. The present is bright. We're in it. That's what I love. We are in it. The future is still bright, but still the present is bright now. The window has opened a little early, which I love it. And you guys are responsible for it. It's all about the players playing on the field. You can talk about everything else around it. It's about the players on the field. And what you guys have delivered in this podcast is exact examples of why you guys are where you are. I have no idea where it's going to go from here. You might hit the tank. I don't know. But I know you're going to be...
Don't say that, Jim.
Well, it's reverse jinx. That's what I'm like going for.
There you go.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be fun to watch because you play an enjoyable brand of baseball, and it's about the mindset. And I really appreciate you guys coming on here and talking about it. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You had to come in early to do it. These guys came in early, not for me, for you, the listeners out there. John, the captain of America's team, has to go be the captain of the Reds Heads Kids Club right now, right? Yep. You've got an event coming up. It's a little busy. It's a little this and a little of that. But it is Jonathan India, America's second baseman. Jake Fraley, America's outfielder. On America's team. And this is America's podcast.
Yeah.
I love that.
Heck yeah.
Especially when you drop there, you're like, America's team, baby, yeah. America's team, baby, yeah. I played that 1,000 times over and over. It was great.
You got me hyped up, so I had to get hyped up for you.
Well, I'm hyped up after this. Thank you, gentlemen. Lots of luck going forward. And thank you for listening. We'll check you out next time.